This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you on a Friday. Talked a lot about Deshaun Watson this week, the 23rd lawsuit filed earlier this week. 24th lawsuit possibly coming down here, and joining us right now to talk about that on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. We're joined by Rusty Harden, lead attorney for Deshaun Watson, as well as Leah Graham, who many of you saw on the HBO Real Sports special, one of Rusty Harden's associates working on the Deshaun Watson case, both joining us right now on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. Folks, how are we doing this morning?
We're doing well. Thank you a lot.
Yeah, it's
by
good.
The way, Leah's a partner.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, there you go. Sorry about that.
That has no distinction anywhere except within our office and the profession.
That's okay. I feel like I just called a head coach an offensive coordinator or something like that. That's significant. Leah's probably like, that is significant.
That's not a bad analogy.
Yeah, there you go. It's good to have both of you on. I guess I'll start with Rusty. The HBO Real Sports special was a big topic last week, and they made the point in the special that that you guys had not talked to, they had approached you and Deshaun about talking to them for the feature. You hadn't up until very late in the process for them. What changed at the 11th hour that made it that you thought made it necessary for you guys to be part of that?
Well, I think we just finally decided that we had to take a leap of faith and try to trust them to be objective, when that was what our reservation was. Look, I mean, there's no secret that for the last 15 months or so, this all began mid-March of last year, we've always lost the public relations battle and the battle for the court of public opinion. We knew that we would from the very beginning. And the 5,000-pound elephant in the room is always 22, now 23, and as you said in your lead-in, maybe 24 lawsuits. How in the world could 24 people be wrong? And how could anybody be innocent of anything if 24 people said he did it? And so we finally got to where we focused exactly on our big target. Our targets first were the criminal cases, investigations, and then what's going on currently now, the NFL investigation. And we had to accept the fact that people were just not prepared to give us the benefit of the possibility that he didn't do these things that he strongly denies. So we were reluctant to get involved with him solely because we didn't feel we could trust them to be objective on it, because so far no one had been. No one has been willing to list to subject the accusers to the same background looking at and intense investigation that Deshaun has. But at the last minute, we figured it's going to run anyway. It really wasn't the last minute, too. It's a little bit of exaggeration there, but they're a little hypersensitive to the fact that we were skeptical about them. I never found in the – I looked very strongly at the Constitution to see if it says anything about a media outlet that is producing a show for profit as a constitutional right to be taken seriously from the very beginning and be trusted. They actually wanted the – this is kind of interesting the more I think about it. They wanted the presumption of fairness and objectivity that we have asked for, and the presumption of innocence of Deshaun. They're not willing to give it to Deshaun, but they got just really hypersensitive about the fact that we were skeptical about him. So, but we did do it, and I don't think there's any future in us really critiquing it one way or the other. Mm-hmm. They did present Leah's presentation, I mean, a response to him at the end. They insisted on that being no more than an 8-minute interview, and they couldn't even wait for me to get back to New York to do it, and that's why Leah was kind enough to jump in the in the lurch. So it's run. It's over. And we're focusing on other things.
Mm-hmm. Leah, in that interview, I'd say it seemed like you went on the offensive against Tony Busby himself somewhat, in saying that he took this case because perhaps he wanted to increase his social media presence, and that there are that many plaintiffs because they were advertised for by Tony Busby. I guess the question I would have about that is, regardless of what Tony Busby's motivations are, how does that affect the truthfulness or the validity of the plaintiff's stories themselves?
Well, I think what I said about Tony Busby and his use of Instagram and social media to attract clients and have them call in, I mean, that's demonstrably true. You can look at his social media, you can see it. The testimony of his own clients confirmed that the reason why they contacted him was because of his posts and news articles reporting on his social media posts. But the actual point I was trying to make that I think got lost in translation is that these cases have no merit. In fact, as Mr. Busby subsequently confirmed in other radio interviews, he twice turned down Ashley Solis's case in the beginning. And although he has a little bit different versions of this story, according to him, he had to be begged, whether by his associates, his daughter, his family, to take that case. So I think what the point I was trying to make is the same reason every other attorney Ashley Solis went to before Mr. Busby, turned down her case. The reason why he, according to his own story, turned it down twice is because if you look at her case on its own merits, putting aside the 21, 22 other accusers, it fails. It's completely without merit. A grand jury determined that. And I believe and am confident that when we get to court in a civil courtroom, we will prove that case has no merit as well.
As far as going to court, it's been reported that there was a settlement, and you and Busby have both talked about this at various times. There's a chance for a settlement back during the season when Miami was trying to trade for Deshaun. Since then, or at least currently, it doesn't look like there are any settlement talks going on. Is his current situation, the fact that he's found employment, that the trade went through, that he was cleared criminally, has that made him further entrenched now on wanting to take this all the way to court?
Deshaun has always wanted to get all of this behind him. And the quicker and more thoroughly possible he could. But he also has never wanted it to look like any type of settlement was an admission. There were actually two attempts to settle and get things wrong, get things done. These cases were filed in March. And by the way, I shake my head every time I started recently trying to explain this, because there were confidentiality agreements that both signed and swore not to say anything about it. And then afterwards, after the October-November failure last year, Busby started publishing parts of the agreement and giving his own untrue version of what happened. What really happened is the cases were filed anonymously in the middle of March. By the time it was over, the 22 everybody talks about, it took about a week. He filed them anonymously, so we didn't know who they were. We couldn't respond to the media public about it one way or the other, because we didn't want to be accusing a woman of something that turns out she wasn't even the one who filed it. So it took us about 3 or 4 weeks to even, after finally had to get a court order for him to even give us the names of people so we could start preparing and interviewing Deshaun about those cases. Very early on, Busby came to us when he had filed five, and he sent me a text and said, "Hey, Rusty, you want to go to mediation and talk about these cases, see if we can get all these settled before I file any more lawsuits?" I said, "That sounds like a good idea to me. I will get up to client." And then before he got an answer from me, he filed three more. And that same day that he offered to do it. And so once they were all filed, we went to mediation, all confidential, all quietly. I wasn't the mediator on our behalf. I asked a very good lawyer and a friend, Chip Babcock, to negotiate on our end, because I wanted to try to keep any disagreements Busby and I had out of the process. So I wasn't even the one at the mediation. We go to a mediation, and at one time in April, all at his instance, we reached an agreement on everything, the money and everything, except I wanted no confidentiality agreement. And the reason I didn't want one, I wanted the public to see we had not bought their silence. They were still going to be free to talk to people about whatever they wanted, and he would be after it was over. And people would see about how small the amount was. They would recognize this was simply an attempt to get these cases behind us and had nothing to do with the merit. Busby was agreeable with the money and everything. He did not, he wanted a non-disclosure agreement. Why? Because he did not want the public to know how little he was willing to settle these cases for. It would have been transparent. They didn't have merit based on the amount he was agreeing to. And it broke down over that. It turns out, Solis and maybe one other, their objection later is to, they didn't want a non-disclosure agreement either. So we're taking depositions. We discovered that back in the earlier period of settlement, possible settlement, we and two of the women were on the same page. Neither of us wanted non-disclosure agreements. They wanted to continue to say whatever they wanted, and we wanted it. But anyway, it broke down in April. We start doing discovery and everything. The reason there was the pressure in April was the draft, and so teams could decide who their quarterback needs and all. And we were trying to hope that we could get him traded before the draft. And that was the pressure on us there. So that goes away. They have the draft. Then there was the trading deadline of November the 2nd. And all of a sudden, Miami comes to the fore and says, look, we'll take our chances on what's going to happen with the criminal. Because at that time, there was a criminal investigation going on by the police department and ultimately the DA's office. Most teams were not willing to consider trading until and unless they knew what was going to happen in the criminal investigation. And by that time, it was 6 months old, and there was that uncertainty. Miami was an outlier. Miami, Ross says, the owner of Miami says, I'll take my chances on what happens criminally, but I have to have all 22 cases settled and a non-disclosure agreement, or I won't do it. The coach at Miami was somebody that Deshaun liked. He liked the team. He was just chomping at the bit to get back to football and get all this garbage behind him. And so we were told, I want to go to Miami. And so we started negotiating with Busby about him going to Miami. And that one got up to an exchange of agreements, everything they wanted in the agreement, we put in it, whatever, because our guy wanted to go to Miami. And then all of a sudden, two of the women would not settle. We were told that 20 of them would, but two would not. Ross said, if I don't have all 22 signed up and a non-confidentiality and a confidentiality agreement, because I don't want everybody talking about this during the season and after the season. So it broke down. It didn't happen. And then right at the last minute, from the 20 that were agreeable, we were told that two more had changed their mind. And so there were 18 that were willing to settle, or not 22. We didn't settle Rusty, with anybody that, because...
Well, that's one thing that we wondered about at the time. Like, from your perspective as an attorney advising your client, it seems like if I had a chance to knock down 20 of something, that it might be good to just reduce your focus down to two people at that point. Is that is it typical for somebody to want to make it an all or nothing deal like that?
Well, yeah, you're right, and I think anybody that wonder, well, why don't you pick off a number? You have to remember, he is absolutely insistent, and now in these depositions that are ongoing, that are being taken of him, excuse me, that he didn't do what they said, and we believe it. But we were willing to settle them with, you know, the gun to our head was, our guy wants to go play football, and the only guy that's talking to him about playing football outside of Houston right there is Miami. And so we were holding our nose and looking to the sky and willing to do that. But the only reason we were settling at that time was that was the only way he could get to Miami. So if Miami wasn't going to take him and do the trade unless they're all 22, and all 22 did not want to settle, then we didn't want to settle with anybody because we didn't want to be there to begin with. That's really how that happened.
Rusty Harden and Leah Graham joining us on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline talking about the Deshaun Watson legal cases. How damaging is the consensual sexual activity that Deshaun has admitted to sexual activity with three of the massage therapists, and he has said it was consensual. How damaging is consensual sexual activity in those three cases to the contention that nothing happened in the other 20 cases?
That's really in the mind of the beholder. Depends on who your audience is. Look, I've spent a career trying to never predict or brag and say that we're going to win this or we're going to do that and so on. I think anybody that tells everybody how great he or she is full of it. And anybody that tries to predict what going to happen within a trial is full of it. On the other hand, if you take any one of these cases by themselves, which is what we have always insisted people ought to try to do, they all fail for the very reasons that Leah has said in her interviews and as recently as yesterday. If you look at them individually and the jury decides based on only the facts of that case, they fall apart, every single one of them. The problem from this is the beginning, and I bet your listeners will tell you the same thing. How could 22, now 23 women be wrong? And if you put that aside, let me give you an example. Busby and I both would have liked to have had a trial in July. It comes as no great flash that he's misrepresented a lot of what those conversations were, but they essentially were this. Busby Wright reaches out to me, maybe April, May, and says, hey, what if we get one of these cases ready to try and try in July? Significance of July, there's agreement with both sides that there will be no trial in this case from August the 1st to March the 1st of next year. So we have to get that done. Busby and I both had vacations set for the first 2 weeks in July, so we talked about the third or fourth week in July. That would mean it would have to be a trial that could be done in a week's time, or we would be leaking over into the beginning of the season. He said, how about we do Solis? I say, how about we do Baxley? Both of them are the two most public women that have been involved in these accusations. Then I say, okay, we'll do Solis if you will agree that you're not going to try to introduce the evidence of the other 21 in this trial and let the allegations and the evidence stand alone on this one case. Because if you're going to try to get all these other cases in to poison the water, and a judge rules that you can, there's no way these cases would not take several months to try. Because the law says we're entitled and we would have exercised it to combat the allegations of each one. So you would have like 21 mini trials, or you'd have 18 if you tried 18, or 6 if you tried 6. But however many you had, if you tried to introduce more than one, you are going to go far beyond August 1st. He would not agree to do that. So when he says that I didn't want to do the trials, well, that's not true. I wanted to do the way we believe it should be. Take each case on its own merits. Is that a valid case? For this reason it is. For that reason it's not. Let a jury decide. But we can't. He won't do that. And so if these cases aren't settled, they'll be tried next year. When you started out asking about Deshaun a minute ago, and if you could imagine the dilemma he's caught in. He wants all of this behind him. He wants to do nothing that makes people think he did do it, but, you know, he wants to go play football.
Yeah.
The Browns wanted to play football. He wants to play football. He's really happy in his new environment, and he's caught up in this maelstrom right now that looks like it's going to take quite a while.
Mm. We're speaking with Rusty Harden and Leah Graham, attorneys for Deshaun Watson. Is there a plan, or is there a chance that Deshaun will file a defamation case against these women?
So I tried that with Clemens. Roger Clemens now starts all the way back at 07 and doesn't finish up to 2012. Defamation lawsuits, we always recommend against them because there are so many prohibiting factors that make them difficult, not only to go forward on, but there's some defenses that there's a particular act that's designed to weed out meritless cases. That means if you file a defamation case now and the other side files motions to invoke that statute that makes it more difficult, you're looking at 2 to 3 years down the line. No, he's not going to sue him. He's been conscious all through all this that there is a danger of people thinking you're victim blaming and you're attacking them and so on. And that's sacrosanct, and you shouldn't do that type thing. And he has very tastefully refused to condemn any of the women. He's just simply said what they're saying is not true, and he's not going to sue them.
Well, I guess that's where the side, because I know you both have used the term the merits of the case, which to us lay people, sometimes we have a hard time figuring out the distinction between what happened and versus what you can prove happened or what the merits of a case are. So I think you said, look, these defamation cases are hard to win. Likewise, it's hard to win the sexual misconduct cases if you're the plaintiff, either criminal or civil side. So is it like saying that a case doesn't have merits isn't the same as saying something didn't happen, correct?
Well, it could be, but not in this case. Leah, I think, is chomping at the bit. I think it's her turn.
Yeah, let me clarify. Yeah. When I said these cases don't have merit, and specifically Ashley Solis's case is what the one I was referring to, but all 22, now 23, these things did not happen. These women, these plaintiffs, these accusers, when subject to cross-examination, when faced with their own evidence, for example, Lauren Baxley's own therapist was under oath, and when presented with the evidence of how many times she reached out and attempted to schedule massages with Deshaun after the alleged assault, her own therapist said that she believes that Lauren Baxley lied to her and that Lauren Baxley's conduct is inconsistent with someone who was allegedly traumatized and sexually assaulted. She went as far as to say she now seriously questions, whether Deshaun sexually assaulted Ms. Baxley in the first place. That's her own treating therapist. That was her sworn deposition testimony. So when I say they lack merit, let me be more clear and straightforward. The things that they are alleging did not occur. There are some aspects of what they say that both parties agree. Yeah, a massage occurred. That part we can all agree on. But in terms of the conduct that is the basis of their assault claim, it's simply not true.
Let me ask you something. Are people willing to ever entertain the possibility that a certain number of accusations means that it had to happen, period, before they hear any evidence or anything? One person, or let's say 22 people, let's say 25 people, say somebody engaged in certain conduct. Does that mean it happened just solely because of the numbers? And that's what we've never been able to get out from under. And that's why we keep saying is, let's look at each one on an individual basis. Lacking merit, you're right, and Leah's right. That's really what lawyers say when they, you know, they're talking like lawyers. But what we really mean is, he didn't do this. We strongly contend that, and he does. So does he ever, in any forum in the world, get a fair hearing on that fact alone? And, I've learned over the years that there are some cases that the courtroom is the only refuge for, because a person that is accused of a really bad act, and particularly is in a hot button social issue, take the Johnny Depp thing that just happened. Mm-hmm. The only time, if Johnny Depp had been left that situation and never go to court on it, never have anybody cross-examining the accuser, but simply himself and his lawyer saying, I didn't do it, nobody would have believed him. And only after the accusations are tested by cross-examination for somebody on his side is there a chance to maybe move that needle. And I unfortunately believed that was always only Deshaun's chance. But I also am not naive enough to know that that'll solve the problem. The truth is, over the years, I've encountered a number of these types of cases. And let me give you an example. The allegations about Calvin Murphy years ago were just horrible accusations as to whether he supposedly sexually assaulted and abused five of his children from the time they were 6 to 13. The jury told me later that after each woman, and by the time the allegations were brought, they were all adult women, that after each woman testified, they believed everything they said. And after they were cross-examined, and this has nothing to do with me, this just had to do with the facts, they didn't believe a single thing they said. And they had no trouble in very short order finding him not guilty on all counts. What that stands for is the proposition that if you are a public person and you are accused of something that is very bad conduct if it happened, and you're accused of it in an area that society is really concerned about, in this case, assault by men against women. If you're accused of a hot button issue and you have a public persona, the only refuge sometimes you have is in a courtroom in which somebody on your behalf challenges the accusations and lets a group of impartial people weigh the credibility of both sides. That's really where we are here. And so the issue is always going to be, is there a level in which it is worth it to Deshaun to bite his tongue, hold his nose, and settle in order to get on with his life? Or is he better served in his own personal life and his own personal field of comfort that he did everything possible by fighting to the end? The numbers make that almost insurmountable. But all we have been saying is, and will continue till the cows come home, is, hey, guys, hey, ladies, hey, everybody, the accusation is not supposed to be self-proving. There should be some way that a person can fight an accusation, no matter how controversial the conduct, no matter how public the activity, and have everybody wait to make up their mind till they hear both sides. And we haven't had that here, and I don't see any signs we're going to have that here. But I do want everybody to put themselves in the position of the person that's accused. All you need to do is go back to the Duke lacrosse case, if you're old enough to remember it, and remember the firestorm that happened there. And it ultimately turned out not to be true. Not just that he wasn't guilty, it turned out to be fabricated. And so, we realize we're whistling in the dark, or whatever it is you do in the dark when you say it's not true and nobody's accepted, whatever the hell that is. As the years creep by, Sean, I discover that I mess up more statements and quotes and malapropisms or whatever the hell they are than I did 5 years ago. But at the end of the day, whatever it is, when you feel like you're futilely screaming in the dark, we didn't do it.
Yep.
Then you still need to keep doing it on behalf of the client and on behalf of what you think is right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
I want to be respectful of both of your times, both Leah Graham and Rusty Harden joining us on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. Just had a couple more things I wanted to hit with you guys, if that's okay, on the way out here. Are you guys okay for time right now?
We actually neither one of us have anything for 9. So
okay.
You're on your own. You can't use that as an excuse for getting
Yeah, no, we're good. We won't take you till 9 o'clock, I promise. I do think, obviously, the civil lawsuits are the heavy focus from a legal standpoint. But I know that there's people interested on the sports side as well about what's going to happen with Deshaun and the NFL. The NFL, it sounds like, is winding down its investigation. Rusty, I know you've been in the room for some of those meetings that Deshaun has had with the NFL's investigative team. What can you share with us about those meetings, the environment? Are they like a legal deposition? Is your role similar in there as it is in these civil cases, or are you just there observing? What can you share with us about that?
I obviously don't want to talk about anything that was specifically said.
Sure.
Or that they have said. But I think now that it's over, I can say that he subjected himself to 4 days of questioning by very professional, polite, but intense and prepared former prosecutors, former sexual assault prosecutors. And it's just like an interview. There are no rules. It would be like they were free to ask any question, and we didn't refuse to answer any questions. So we answered anything they asked, and they asked anything they wanted. And the reason it took so long, obviously, is the numbers of accusations. I'm fully prepared and have always assumed we're probably going to disagree with the conclusion of the NFL. On the other hand, I will say without reservation, they have intentionally investigated. But here's what nobody has done. Nobody has cross-examined the accusers in these cases. They have interviewed both sides of it, but they haven't been cross-examining them. And so I think they're as thoroughly as they can looking at all of this. You can imagine what's in front of them is to try to master. They're helped a little bit about the fact that from the very beginning, we've shared everything with the NFL. We've shared everything with law enforcement, both police and the DA's office. And so they might have had a period where there was a pause while they waited for the law enforcement people to finish their investigation. They've had access to everything from the very beginning.
What contact or communication have you had with the Houston Texans themselves about all of this?
You know, none. I've not talked to anybody connected with it or anybody that's part of the Texans throughout this whole thing. They've never attempted to talk to me. We did have a visit early on from a lawyer that was there just on behalf of the Texans only to find out what the status of the cases was and what we thought was going to happen. But any kind of conversations other than, and that was just a one-time thing, any conversations otherwise didn't occur. The Texans, at least as far as our contact, have always stayed totally out of it. What they did on the trading deal, and I thought it was smart from their end. Remember, Deshaun had a no-trade clause, mm-hmm. but the team had, they have to give him permission to talk to somebody to try to get traded. So what they had two conditions for teams that wanted to talk to him. Number one, we will not approve him being interviewed by anybody in our division. And number two, which all makes sense to me, that's why Indianapolis was taken out of the mix. And number two is, before we will give you permission to talk to one of these trading, and this all happened this year after the criminal was over. I don't know when these conversations occurred otherwise. I wasn't part of any of them. By the way, I want to add, I and our firm had nothing to do with the negotiations of his contract or anything. I'd like to take credit for that, but I had nothing to do with it. And we've kept the legal part and the business part totally separate. His agent and agencies have dealt with the business part. But the condition was, we will first, if you think you're willing to entertain talking to a team, then they are going to have to make a trade proposal to us that we think if you accepted that team would be sufficient for us, the Texans. So in other words, each of these four teams that did the interview, there were two facts about it. Number one is that they weren't in the Texans division. And number two is they had already had a proffer by that team, the Texans had, that would have been sufficient for the Texans to allow Deshaun to go there if that was a team Deshaun wanted to go to. And so other than that, and even none of everything, anything I just said, was I part of or have any contact with the Texans. So we were totally out of that. And I, you know, several of the interviews I observed had absolutely no input in it. We just did it at my office. And so I took advantage of that and listened, but we were not involved in that part of it at all.
Okay, so Rusty, just as a follow-up to that, you know, obviously he winds up in Cleveland, and the Browns ownership made painstaking efforts to let their fan base know that they did a thorough investigation on this whole thing with Deshaun before they were going to hand him all that money and trade for him. Did the Browns, I know you said you were observing those meetings with the Browns, did they talk to you at all about the legal side of things with Deshaun?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, everybody did. Mm-hmm. But all of the teams that were doing were going to make it clear that their concern was the criminal part. Mm-hmm. and you know, what the NFL ultimately decides. They were not going to try to get involved in what he did about the civil cases, and that was true for everyone. I think that that's been a bad rap on the Browns and all the other teams about Busby's silly thing. Well, they didn't talk to me. They didn't talk to me. Well, hell, they don't have to talk to him. All they have to do is follow him on Instagram or Facebook and his press conferences. The women had filed lawsuits, and the women have given depositions. And so they knew what the women said, and any lawyer that would have instructed all of those teams, don't go start talking to witnesses while a criminal investigation is going on, because prosecutors will consider that potentially obstruction of justice and interference with their investigation. So just as the NFL tried to stay out of things until the criminal matters were resolved, so did the football teams. But they were, each of them had representatives locally on the ground and others, and, you know, trying to gather as much information as they could.
Yeah.
What everybody was really interested in is they knew what the accusations were. I mean, those had become very public and were filed. What they needed to do is find out as much as they could about Deshaun. And I can assure you, it wasn't just the Browns, but all four of these teams. I mean, we're talking about a boatload of money. They wanted to make sure that they were getting the kind of person as a human being they could rely on, they could trust and like and respect, and it could be a voice in the community. That was true with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I was kind of naive about this process. I was impressed with the ownership and the presentations of all of these teams. I wasn't here at Atlanta's, but the other three, which were New Orleans and Carolina and the Browns. All of those teams, quite frankly, were impressive. The owners attended, the general managers attended, the coaches obviously attended. I was pleasantly surprised about both the quality of the people that were talking to them about possibly joining their team and the presentations they made. It wasn't anything like what I expected.
Interesting. Rusty Harden, Leah Graham joining us on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. Last thing before we get you guys out of here, Busby, in his conversation on this station with our midday show last week, alluded to an article that was scheduled to come out at some point. He said within a week or so. I've not seen anything yet, but an article regarding the grand jury process. What do you know about that?
Well, I can tell you that as we have done fully with the NFL and as we had said we would do, we fully cooperated with the Houston Police Department in their investigation. We actually turned over more materials than Busby and his clients were willing to provide. We provided materials that I was told from the detective that Busby's firm refused to give them. So good, bad, or ugly, we provided all of the deposition transcripts, all of the evidence that had been collected in the case in exchange. Mm-hmm. We presented all of that evidence to them. I have to imagine that they provided that information to the district attorney. We don't know what happened in the room. I don't think anybody does, but I have to believe that all of that evidence would have been presented. And as a result, there were 10 no-bills. Mm-hmm. There were 10 different indications that no criminal conduct occurred.
Let's remember real quickly what that means. A grand jury indictment is not deciding guilt or innocence. Mm-hmm. It's deciding whether there is any evidence that would support having that case go forward in court. And if there's any evidence, and the phrase that everybody hears all the time, probable cause. Is there probable cause to believe that some criminal conduct may have occurred, not did occur, but may have occurred, in order to continue these accusations on into the criminal justice system? And in both counties that heard this, I never had any contact at all with the district attorney herself about these cases. There was no going above anybody or anyone. Our only contact was with the prosecutor in charge of the case, and then two of them ultimately were. And there were no secret things or anything. Here's all our information. We'll answer your questions. And at the end of the day, the prosecution in Houston was investigated by a 20-plus-year a professional woman prosecutor. The case in Brazoria County similarly was pursued and investigated by a 20-something-year experienced prosecutor, a woman prosecutor. Both of these women have been clear advocates for women have been clearly concerned about all types of issues of misconduct toward women by men, and they're the ones who ran the thing. We didn't have anything to do with that. We just gave them the information. Busby, you're right. Busby has suggested that somebody is working on an article to challenge all that. I will predict to you, if and when something like that is released, we will have one more splurge of accusations that then nobody's going to listen to the response. So I don't know anything about it. I only know, just as y'all do, what he has said.
Yeah.
I will tell you that these pleadings in each case are replete with misstatements. I mean, they're just fact, they're wrong. And then when we've taken the deposition of 21 of the 22 accusers, without exception, their depositions were inconsistent with their pleadings that were initially filed and that are on record that everybody got so understandably bit out of shape on. Remember this. If there had been a crime, do you really believe that a group of citizens would not be sympathetic to the women making them? You got to remember, by the time these things are decided, everybody knew Deshaun Watson is asking to leave the Texans and go somewhere else to play. He's not sitting there with a grand jury, whoever they were, that are just unduly impressed or favorable toward him. They'd be much more likely to be sympathetic to the women. And the burden for a grand jury is 12 of them in state court. 9 of them have to find that they believe there's probable cause. They found in 2 different grand juries that no probable cause to any crime committed. And the allegations that these women have made are criminal in nature, a lot of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And so at the end of the day, you have a situation where, you know, we got hammered for me saying at the very beginning, in 2 or 3 of these incidents, there were some consensual sexual conduct. But let's make sure what we're talking about. We're talking about oral sex. And so I tried at the very beginning. I mean, I've been pretty dumb and naive about the way they've handled this thing from the beginning. I believed at the beginning, if we conceded anything, that we should concede anything that was going to turn out to be the truth. And we did that from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how many men are out there now that have had a massage that perhaps occasionally there was a happy ending. All right? Maybe there's nobody in your listening audience that ever happened to. I do want to point out, if it has happened, it's not a crime. Okay? Unless you are paying somebody extra or so to give you some type of sexual activity, it's not a crime. And so at the end of the day, that's another thing that would affect conduct. Doing something or saying something or being a way that makes you uncomfortable is not a crime. And so we've had 2 grand juries find that, and nobody seems to want to listen. On the other hand, you guys have been extremely fair about letting us vent. And if I could take your patience one more time, I want to talk about this team that I and Leah represent. There are 5 of us that essentially, there have really been 7 that worked on the case, but in the last 9 months, it's come down to a team of 5. 2 guys, me being one of them, mm-hmm. and 3 women. And the 5 of us, uniformly, without question, have no doubt that these accusations are wrong. Do we expect anybody to believe us because we've been retained by them? Absolutely not. So from now on, and even in the past, when you hear from us about something, we're going to be talking to you in the words of the women. For 30 days, we didn't know who they were. And then the story was then cast. There was no way we could get out in front of it if for 30 days we don't know who they are and all of these allegations float. Then we couldn't tell you what the women said other than their until we took their depositions. That's why Leah a minute ago was talking about the counselor for one of them. And by the way, when she mentioned the name, we don't ever mention the names unless the women have chosen themselves to be out front. And the woman's name, she appeared at the initial press conference. And then she has written letters to Sean's girlfriend and published them to say bad things about him. She's been interviewed by Sports Illustrated. So she's chosen to put herself out front. That's the only time. And so has Miss Solis. And that's the only time we've mentioned her by name. At the end of the day, I hope that we're going to get to air these in front of a jury. But I have no idea what's coming.
Rusty Harden, Leah Graham, both attorneys working with Deshaun Watson, part of the team of five that Rusty just talked about there, joining us in the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. Rusty and Leah, thank you to both of you. You've both been incredibly generous with your time. We really appreciate the insight into what's going on from your perspective on the case, and we look forward to following this through however long it's going to take. We look forward to following it through. Thank you very much, both of you, for coming on with us today.
You folks take care.
You too. You too. Both of you as well. Thanks, Rusty. Appreciate that. Rusty Harden joining us on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.